We're joined now by Rich Rubino. As noted, he's written four books about American politics, also has written hundreds of columns for the Huffington Post, and he is no stranger to shows of this kind, joining us from the great city of Boston. And his book is American Politics on the Rocks, The Bizarre Side of American Politics. And I'm sure a lot of people in public life probably are grimacing because they're in this book, because there are more than a few embarrassing moments that you recap, and they're funny. But I guess they're only funny if you're not part of the joke. But tell us, for example, Joe Biden pops up in the book a time or two, and his history of gaffes, it goes back way beyond his advanced age. He's been making gaffes for a very long time, hasn't he?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there was, you know, for in case of Joe Biden, there was one instance, for example, in the Senate where he had put a provision into a he had put a provision in the crime code. And at one point, he was basically defending it. He looked at it, and he found that his staff had put something in there they didn't like. And he said, you know what? He said, after looking at this, he said, I don't think I know what I'm talking about anymore, after all. So then he just he said, essentially, so I guess I'm not for this anyways. He's had a couple, actually. I mean, the major one for Joe Biden, of course, was back in 1987 when he would give a speech, and he would basically talk about his background growing up in, under modest circumstances. And at one point, he actually started to take a speech essentially from Neil Kinnock, who was the Labour Party leader in Great Britain, and he essentially made the story his own story. And then there was a guy named John Sasso, who worked for Mike Dukakis' campaign, who leaked it to the press at the time, because that's how you would do it. This was before social media and the Internet. You know, today it would be instantaneous if that comes up. And then he showed the speech, and he showed the speech that Kinnock had given. And they also found out when they did an investigation that he had taken some other speeches from Hubert Humphrey and Robert Kennedy. That basically led to his leaving that campaign. And then when he ran again in 2006, when he was 2008, rather, when Barack Obama picked him as his running mate and Joe Biden was introducing him up in Springfield, Illinois, he introduced him as Barack America. So Joe Biden is definitely in the book. He's one of those figures that he can be very candid. And when somebody's very candid, sometimes they can also be very gaffe-prone.
Well, the poor guy, he says, when the stock market crashed, Franklin Roosevelt got on the television and did just look about the princes of greed. He said, look, here's what happened. Well, as we know, television was not around in 1929, and Franklin Roosevelt was not the president. It was Herbert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover, yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
So Joe Biden has his moments, and you note that Mitt Romney, the well-coiffed senator from Utah, former governor of Massachusetts, and his dad was mayor of Detroit. He gets around. Mitt Romney said, I'm not a big game hunter. I've made that very clear. I've always been a rodent and rabbit hunter, small varmints, if you will.
Yeah, well, his father was actually the governor of Michigan.
Correct.
And in terms of Mitt Romney, yeah, basically when he's made that statement, he said that he was a lifelong hunter, and it was later revealed that he had actually hunted twice in his life, once when he was a boy, and then once as a member of the Republican Governors Association. So that was when he kind of came back, and that was kind of his, I guess, retreat. He's made some other misgaffes as well. For example, he was talking to a group of unemployed voters, and he said, you know, we have something in common because I, too, am unemployed. and his father, actually, George Romney, his gaffe goes back to 1967. So George Romney at one point was actually the front runner for the 1968 Republican nomination. And he was interviewed by the station in Detroit, and they asked him why he had changed his views on the Vietnam War. He had been a supporter of it, and he said that part of that was because he had made a trip where he had basically visited Vietnam, and he said, I got the biggest brainwashing one can ever get over there. He said, not only from the generals, but also from the diplomatic corps. And they said, really? And he said, yeah. And so basically he said he was brainwashed, and that made a lot of people look and say, wow, if he can be brainwashed by the generals, does that mean he can be brainwashed, you know, essentially by anybody else when he actually becomes president? And then Eugene McCarthy, the senator from Minnesota, was running for the Democratic presidential nomination at that point, was asked about the statement about his brainwash. He looked and he said, a light rinse would have ensued.
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he was governor of California, said, I think that gay marriage is something that should be between a man and a woman.
Yes, absolutely. He was definitely known for gas. I mean, he was, of course, elected. He was actually elected in a recall, and Gray Davis, the Democratic governor, they did a recall back in 2003, and there were about 100 people running, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, garnered the nomination, and that was one of his great quotes.
Well, George McGovern, he was defined as a wimp by Richard Nixon, and he was anything but a wimp. He was a decorated war hero, flying dangerous missions, and got the Distinguished Flying Cross in World War II. And you note that once he whispered in a heckler's ear in Battle Creek, Michigan, and I'm going to say this, but these words you can actually say on radio, he said, "Listen, you son of a bitch, why don't you kiss my ass?" That's George McGovern.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And that was what was kind of very uncharacteristic, because he had a very kind of South Dakota polite demeanor. And when he made that statement, his supporters actually made pins out that said KMA, the acronym for that word, and they would hand it out to show that George McGovern was tough and he was not a wimp. And there was actually a senator, a very conservative senator, Jay Meesland from Mississippi, who endorsed Richard Nixon. And then after George McGovern came back in the Senate Democratic Caucus, Eastland says, "You know, I'll say this about it." He says, "That was the best line that you had of the entire campaign." He said that to George McGovern.
And you note that sometimes the name means everything. We generally don't elect presidents with exotic names. Perhaps the most exotic was Barack Hussein Obama. But John Kennedy, he not only had a great name, but he spawned others with the same name, including our U.S. Senator John Neely Kennedy. And very recently in this state, a guy got on the ballot. All he did was pay a qualifying fee, Thomas J. Kennedy III for Secretary of State, and he got 19% of the votes. That's all he did was pay his qualifying fee because of that Kennedy name magic. Now, you say that a name often matters.
Oh, absolutely. And John F. Kennedy was the perfect example of that, because there was actually somebody whose name, he worked in a stockroom, and his name was John F. Kennedy, and decided he'd get in the ballot in Massachusetts as state treasurer, to run for the primary for state treasurer. And a lot of people actually looked at it and thought that that was the same person, and he ended up actually winning the state treasurer's office, in part because he had that name. And there are a great example for John F. Kennedy, by the way. You go back to his first congressional race back in 1946, and essentially what they did, there was a person named Tumulty that was running against him. And what they did is they paid somebody with the exact same name to get on the ballot. So those two people were both on the ballot, and the people would look and they'd say, "Tell Joe Tumulty here, Joe Tumulty there." And they kind of split the Joe Tumulty vote, and that helped John F. Kennedy propel him into getting the nomination. That was orchestrated in part by his father. And another great example, by the way, great story from that campaign. There was one point where his mother, John F. Kennedy's Rose Kennedy, was in Massachusetts, in the congressional district that Kennedy had actually moved in. He was seen as kind of a carpetbagger to run, and she started talking to the cab driver, and he said, "What do you know about this guy Kennedy? He's running for Congress." And the cab driver says, "Oh, I heard about him. Great guy, a war hero." And the woman says, "Well, I think you should know then that I'm his mother." And then the cab driver looks back and says, "You know, it's really great that I hear from that, because he owes me $2.50 a stiffy from the last cab ride."
In 1970, a 19-year-old Republican operative named Karl Rove, using a false identity, broke into the campaign office of Alan Dixon, Democratic nominee for state treasurer of Illinois, purloined Dixon campaign stationery. Knowing when Dixon had scheduled a rally, Rove proceeded to use the stolen stationery to advertise free beer, free food, girls, and a good time for nothing.
Yeah, he later apologized for that. I guess he said it was kind of an impish thing to do. But, yeah, no, that was very effective. And what he did is he would send that out to a lot of bars, for example, where a lot of motorcyclists would hang out. And then a lot of them ended up coming to the rally for Mr. Dixon. And they wondered where all these people came from. But they had actually seen all these flyers all over the place. He put them up in homeless shelters, for example. He put them all up around the state of Illinois. And a lot of those people ended up coming to his announcement speech.
There are more than a few mentions of the president in 2015. In Fort Dodge, Iowa, Donald Trump referred to opponent Carly Fiorina as Carly whatever the hell her name is.
Yes. Donald Trump's in there. I try to use him somewhat sparingly, but Donald Trump is in there, and that's one of the ones that he's in there about. Another example would have been probably when there was a basketball player in China that he had essentially was responsible for shoplifting, and he had worked with the Chinese government to get him out. And then his father had complained about him, and then he had complained about Donald Trump as a president, and Trump responded.
I'm sorry, we got a roll, but it's in the book, American Politics on the Rocks, The Bizarre Side of American Politics, from Rich Robino. Rich, you're a fun guy, and these are things that are bring some laughter amid all the pain in American politics. Thank you. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe.